Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello there, Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, what a joy it is to welcome you back to Just a Minute. Time now, of course, to introduce you to the four incredibly talented people who are going to be playing this week. They are Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Delisa Chaponda, and Kerry Godleyman. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. As the characteristic Radio 4 wolf whistling abates, I'm going to ask them all to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, or deviating. So let's see how that all goes. Now, Paul, we are going to start with you. The subject here I've got on the card is crossed wires. Can you speak for 60 seconds without repeating, hesitating, or deviating on the subject of crossed wires? Your time starts now.
There's a phrase which dates back to the 19th century when telephone engineering was at a very early stage, and people would often find that their calls would be diverted because a wire somewhere had been crossed at the exchange with another one. I remember our family sharing a party line in 1968 when we first got a telephonic piece of equipment, and sometimes when you heard the other person picking up the line, you would say things like, oh, the body is... Oh.
Zoe?
I think there were two lines.
There were a couple of lines.
Absolutely.
Well, listened out.
Yep.
I'm sort of regretting that, though, now. Because can I just pretend I heard that on another line? I have to say on this subject.
You've got crossed wires, whether you like it or not, because that was a correct challenge, so you get the point. You get 36 seconds to take it away, and your time starts now.
I'm old enough to remember when electrical devices arrived at your house without a plug, so it was up to you to stick the wires in the correct position in said electrical converting pit. Bit.
Pit. Deviation from how we understand electricity.
Yes.
Yes. Correct challenge, Paul. You get the subject back. 23 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now.
The body is buried deep within the woods by the oak tree, and the person that was listening on the other end of the telephonic communication...
Zoe.
Didn't we previously have a telephonic communication?
We did.
Why didn't I just say telephone?
Said that as well.
I've covered everything, haven't I?
Have I got this one back?
It is back with you. It's a correct challenge, Zoe. You've only got yourself to blame.
Okay.
14 seconds, your time starts now.
Cross wires can sometimes be used to describe a miscommunication. So when I said to my friend Paul, I'll see you down by the woods near the river, I didn't understand.
Paul?
The river's nowhere near the woods. I was dragging the body from the back of a Volkswagen. Sailed it down in a kayak.
Yeah, you've made it hard for yourself.
I made it hard for myself. I didn't pick the right area.
I enjoyed that, Paul. I'm going to give you a point for a correct challenge, but I sort of want to hear Zoe tell us a bit more about how electricity works. So with 4 seconds remaining, it's all yours back again, starting now.
I dragged myself from the river holding a...
Oh!
Strangely, repetition of river. Yeah. The one thing that wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, with half a second remaining... Please end this poll starting now.
Cross...
Right, Zoe, as well as basically outing yourself as Paul's murder accomplice, it's also your round now, and the subject is commemorative plates. Don't say we don't Bobby Dazzle you. A minute to tell us everything you know about the old Wedgwoods and Co., starting now.
The only commemorative plate my mother has in the house has the date 3rd of June, 1982, emblazoned upon it, because it marks that very special moment in my athletics career as a young child when I came fourth in the St. Joseph's School Sports Day. I crossed the line with such aplomb, the likes of which had never been seen before in my family. We are not a tremendously athletic bunch. So my mother had the plate made...
Delisa, you buzzed.
Repetition of mother.
It was your mum indeed who marked the special moment with the plate. But I enjoyed that. It meant 31 seconds. That's a hell of a run. Well done, Uncle. correct challenge, Delisa, means you get the subject of commemorative plates. What can you tell us about that most enthralling of subjects, starting now?
People commemorate terrible moments in history with these plates. I feel we should do the same with our own lives. Breakups, depressing moments should be remembered forever. Smash the plate to remember... Oh.
Kerry.
Hesitation.
Indeed, it was hesitation. Correct challenge. Means you get the subject of commemorative plates, lest we forget. 13 seconds. And your time starts now.
I was in an antique shop recently and I saw a plate that seemed to have my face from childhood on it. And I stood transfixed with this strange moment where I felt I was haunting.
Well done. Speaking as the whistle went, that means Kerry gets a point. And Delisa, we are with you next.
Okay.
Can I just say I'm a big fan of your suggestion that we commemorate breakups and personal plates. I'd like to see so many of those immortalised in ceramics. Let's see what we've got. We've got double dates. What can you tell us about double dates that doesn't incriminate you or another? You've got the standard 60 seconds, no more, no less, and your time starts now.
I once went on a terrible double date, which was misery, because the other man looked far better than I did, and it quickly became apparent that both ladies would have preferred to be on a date with him. However, I endured my misery and pain and hoped for double the... reward.
Paul?
It was a bit of a hesitation, and you could have made a commemorative plate out of this event. Yeah.
You could have all eaten off it.
That's a correct challenge, Paul. You get the subject of double dates. 37 seconds remaining on the clock, and your time starts now.
I've never been on one. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I've never been on one.
I respect that. Yeah. There's nothing more to say.
Nothing more to say.
No. So are you challenged under the rules of just a minute? What were you going for there?
Well, I believed him, so I knew there was a silence coming.
Yeah.
So I stepped in there.
A profound silence.
As you would on a double date.
Yeah.
Exactly. Any awkward silence, you'd be like, I've got this, I'll catch this conversation. Yeah. You
know? Well, you seem to know something about it. You perhaps have been on one, which is good, because it's all yours for 35 seconds, which is about as long as my last double date lasted. Time starts now.
I also have never been...
Well, this is intriguing. Paul buzzed. We already know he's never been on a double date.
Well, first of all, it's hesitation. You've got the cheek to challenge me on double date.
Paul, that's the correct challenge. You get a point. And double dates. You might not have been on one, but let's see if you can opine on the subject starting now.
I just remembered I have been on a double date. It involved me, Sophie Lorraine, Hilda Ogden and Prince Rainier of Monaco. Norbury, and this was a terrible idea because none of them were particularly interested in that sport, but I said, look, it's quite easy. All you've got to do is stick your fingers in the bowl and just shove it along the lane, and when it hits the skittles, you know whether you won or lost. So we all got together around a pizza that night, and we said to each other, you know, this double date has worked out so much better than we thought it would. Here we have an Italian film star, a fictional character, a man who was once married to Grace Kelly, and me. Who would have thought that the four of us would have got together and had such a wonderful time?
Paul speaking magnificently as the whistle went means he gets the point. Let's have some scores. We've got Deliso trailing just slightly ahead. We've got Kerry, then ahead of Kerry we've got Zoe, and blazing out in the lead we've got Paul Merton. But everything can change as we move into round two. Paul, we're back with you again. The subject here is a one-man band. What can you tell us about a one-man band within the rules of just a minute? Well, your time starts now.
Certainly in the world of early cinema, one can look at Charles Chaplin as being a one-man band. Not only did he perform, he wrote, directed and produced... Oh, yeah, hesitation.
Sorry.
Hesitation.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit. We must hold Paul to a higher standard, so I'm absolutely inclined to agree with you there. So, you've got the subject and the point. A one-man band, Kerry, and you've got 50 seconds. Your time starts now.
When I think of a one-man band, I remember a bloke I saw at the tube station once who had a huge snare drum on his back and a Jack Russell at his foot and a harmonica in his mouth. And he was singing a song about being a man in a band. And...
Zoe?
Well, it's deviation because you can't sing with a harmonica in your mouth.
In his mouth all the time.
No, you say, oh, okay.
He had it in one of those boxes.
Yeah.
They do have it fixed like a weird orthodontic brace just in front of their mouth.
Yes. Yeah.
So they can just lean in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my mistake. Yeah. What was the Jack Russell doing?
That's I don't what I know just, what he was doing
just
there.
The high notes, yeah. Just as if you stand on the tail every now.
All right, I'm going to say that's an incorrect challenge, Zoe, because we don't know the exact musical configuration of this one-man band, but
okay,
good
enough.
Lord, we've got 34 seconds for Kerry to tell us all about it. Your time starts now.
He also had other instruments that weren't in his mouth. He had guitar and a record...
It was repetition of mouth.
It was a repetition of mouth.
Fair enough.
That means you get the subject, of course. 28 seconds, Deliso, on a one-man band, and your time starts now.
I was on a cruise ship with a person who claimed to be a one-man band, but he only had two instruments, a piano and a harmonica. I do not think that that is enough musical variety to claim that you are a one-man band. I think...
Zoe.
Oh.
Somebody.
I'm all right. I'm okay. I've remembered where I am.
Can you smell it?
It's okay.
What an aspirin.
It just went a bit fuzzy there for a minute, but I'm back. Oh, Oh, now this is awful because I think there was a repetition of two different things, but now I'm not sure. I think it was musical. Musical instrument, musical.
Well, there was instruments and musical, I have it.
There was instruments and music.
I don't remember a repetition, but I'm happy to be corrected. That's a no from the audience. Good. It's just me.
Sorry.
It's just me in a notepad. When people write in, and they love to. Boy, do they love to on any social media carrier pigeon, sometimes just at my front door. It is just a middle-aged woman in the early autumn of her life, frantically scribbling on a notepad with what minimal reserves are left to her in the hormonal fog of latter years. I don't think there was a repetition, but God only knows if you do at home. Please find me. Track me down with dogs and let me know. You retain the subject, Deliso, 13 seconds, and your time starts now.
I told political jokes, so I was one man who was banned. So I am a one man who was banned in Malawi for thinking that my jokes were above the government.
Paul. Was it a repetition of jokes?
There was a repetition of jokes. There was indeed. Which means, Paul, with 3 seconds remaining...
Shouldn't be allowed.
No. It's like a black art, Paul. I don't know how you do it. There's a conjuring, I think. Something happens. 3 seconds to tell us about One Man Bands. It's back with you starting now.
Charlie composed the music for his own movies as well, so I think...
Excellent work. Paul was speaking as the whistle went, and we move to you, Zoe. Now, your subject is when art imitates life. All right, you've got 60 seconds on that, and your time starts now.
The most remarkable example of when art imitated life was when I found myself in the early 80s volunteering as an au pair in the Austrian region of the European part of Europe. And I was looking after a delightful family called the Von Trapps, who were extremely talented when it came to song, dance and playing instruments. There were 7 beautiful little kinder, all blonde.
Did you say this is the 1980s.
It was unbelievable, Paul. It was...
The Von Trapp family that were around in the 40s.
No, I never said that. Oh. That's. It was just...
Different Von Trapp.
Different Von Trapp.
I walked into a Von Trapp there, didn't I?
Rebutted, I think, Zoe. It could be any Von Trapps that sing and dance and who happily come from a family of seven.
Tons of them. There's tons. You go through the phone book, there's tons of them.
Well, if you, particularly in the Austrian region of the European part of Europe. You've got 31 seconds to talk.
31 seconds?
31
okay.
seconds. And your time starts now.
I dressed in a small gingham dress and I ran up mountains with the kinderins and we sang...
Deliso, save us.
Hesitation and repetition of Kinder.
Well, it was Kinder and then Kinderin.
Okay, so I take it back.
My German being inadequate, I'm not entirely sure that the...
It's Austrian dialect, so you're probably not familiar with it. It's very rural where they were, so it's a
Which Austrian part of Austria were they in?
The Austrian
part. There was goats and stuff. There was goats. There was a lot of goats.
So Kinder, I think, is the plural.
Yes, yes. And then that's what... I mean, it was a sort of... I mean, a nickname,
it's
really.
It's yours to
Lisa. Yes. So,
you've got 23 seconds. Tell me whatever you fancy on the subject of when art imitates life, starting now.
Art imitated life when I was a child in Vienna, and a young woman who used to work at a nunnery came to take care of myself and my six brothers. She sang and taught us how to dance wearing curtains from the walls, and eventually we fled from a bunch of fascists. We ran over the mountains and the hills were alive. It was terrifying.
Deliso, speaking as the whistle went. Got the point. Really enjoyed that, won't lie. Deliso, what do we have for you? We've got crocodile tears. What can you tell us about that subject? In 60 seconds, your time starts now.
Crocodile tears refer to insincere tears, which I think is unfair to crocodiles because they are actually very genuine when it comes to reptiles. I actually think the term should be alligator tears because they are notoriously devious and duplicitous and are known far and wide in the animal kingdom for all of their tricks and nasty pranks. I actually was once the victim of an alligator prank when I was swimming.
No, it's wrong. You said pranks and pranks. I buzzed too early, so it was a bad challenge.
Kerry,
double alligator.
There was a double alligator.
Too many alligators.
Yeah. Back to double dating.
Yeah. Yes, correct challenge, Kerry. It was a double alligator, which means you get the subject, which is crocodile tears. 30 seconds, please. Time starts now.
I am quite good at being able to differentiate between crocodile tears, pretend crying, and real trauma. That is one of my attributes as a parent. I think when a child is screaming because a brick has landed on their head, fair enough, have a cry. But if you think you're going to get an ice cream out of it, you've got another thing coming. And you can...
Love you!
That was a 4 second...
It was wonderful. What I loved as well is the sympathy that you held for the child who'd had a brick fall on its head. And then immediately going, and if you think you're getting an ice cream out of that, that's tough love, man. That's tough love.
Yeah, tough love.
You were speaking as the whistle went.
Great.
That means you get a point.
That's great.
It is, isn't it? Well done,
you. Over the moon with that.
Kerry, you've got the next subject, and it is... How to impress at wine tasting.
Oh, hey, then.
Yeah? Is this more your...
No.
No,
I'm
okay,
going
good.
In with more confidence now.
All right, listen, you've got 60 seconds to smash it. You've got how to impress at wine tasting starting now.
When you are trying to impress at wine tasting, it's best to look at the wine before you drink it and with your eyeballs. And then make out you really do have a sense of what is inside the glass and hold it by the stem. You're not meant to grasp it with your grubby, sweaty fingers.
Paul.
Sadly, hesitation after grubby, sweaty fingers.
There always must be.
There must be, yeah.
Must be, yes. But she's right. You shouldn't just grab at it with your grubby.
Not meant to do that.
No, you're absolutely right. It might well come back to you, but there were good tips there for those who want to impress.
You're welcome.
Don't grab at it with your grubby, sweaty fingers. Paul, it's a correct challenge. You get the subject. 34 seconds. Your time starts now.
Ah, yes, I believe the grapes were planted on a Wednesday, sometime between 4 and 3.30 in the afternoon. And, you know, I think there's something about this particular wine that seems to me that it was in a north face. In Banyard. What does Banyard mean? I don't know.
Banyard.
I actually thought for a moment, God, he knows a lot about wine.
Yeah. Funny enough, I thought that as well.
He's even talking about the Banyard.
Yeah, the Banyards.
I'm just going to look it up. You'd have got away with that, I think, probably, Paul.
Yeah, but, I should have done.
You self-corrected. And Zoe, you buzzed in. For form's sake, what was the challenge?
It was two Banyards, one Banyard too many.
Which classic double Banyard.
Yeah.
Many a vintner's...
Banjacks by your own Banyard.
Indeed.
How to impress at wine tasting. You've got the subject. It's 17 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now.
I like to impress at wine tasting by taking a massive swill of red wine and letting it wash around the inside of my mouth. I then dramatically spit it onto the carpet of the host and say, I'm getting earthy flavours and you're going to need to get the cleaners in. But they will look at me and say, how...
All right, well, that's the end of that round, then. Let's have a look at some results. And they are results, and that's how I'm calling them today. Deliso in fourth, but narrowly ahead of him, we've got Kerry. Narrowly ahead, Zoe in second place. And striding out still ahead, we've got Mr. Paul Merton. Zoe, your subject now is riding a tandem bike. Details about riding a tandem bike, Zoe. Well, we'll find out because your time starts now.
I am incredibly dyspraxic, so I have never actually ridden a tandem bike. But if I were to mount such a vehicle, I would opt for the rear seat. That way, they wouldn't be able to see that I wasn't pedalling or indeed paying any attention whatsoever, because that has to be the only benefit of being on a dual-saddled bicycle. Riding a tandem bike has its benefits going uphill, because both of you are moving forward.
Kerry.
She's on it on her own, though.
that's a mistake taking the back seat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no one else on it.
You'd be doing a wheelie up a hill, basically.
I was speaking hypothetically, though.
Oh, I need more clarity. Yeah.
I enjoyed that, though, Kerry. I'm giving you a point for that, because it conjured an image that made me smile, which is... So, I enjoyed that you get the point, but Zoe, you haven't adequately given us the picture. Perhaps there will be somebody on your imaginary bike. 31 seconds, time starts now.
When I do ride a tandem bike, I like to be joined by another dyspraxic person who is in the front and then... Oh, two dyspraxics. Oh,
that's right.
That's an absolute disaster.
It's the Radio 4 endgame, isn't it, to have dyspraxic featured twice? Well, listen, yes, it's a correct challenge. So, well done. You get the point, Deliso, and you get the subject, which is, to remind everyone, riding a tandem bike. Your time starts now.
The Tour de France would be far more entertaining if it happened on tandem bikes. That would be double the amount of riders and more steroids and more cheering.
Paul.
More.
Repetition. Yes, more. Absolutely. Yes. 15 seconds, Paul, please, on riding a tandem bike, and your time starts now.
I was riding a tandem bike sitting behind Prince Rainier of Monaco, and we were so thrilled that we were going on a double date with Hilda Ogden and Sophie Loren. And then he turned round to me and he said, I can't wait to see where we're going. I said, it's going to be a bowling alley in Norbury. He said, oh, fantastic. I love that sport so much.
Paul, speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. And we are on to our final round.
Oh.
That got less than I'd hoped for, but never mind. round we are with you, Delisa. One for you. It's Blackpool Illuminations. The Blackpool Illuminations. Let's see what you have on this. 60 seconds. Time starts now.
The Blackpool Illuminations is a festival where there are lots of lights, Ferris wheels, and all sorts of celebrations as you walk down the streets on the pier of Blackpool. I once went there to perform, and after the show, we walked down admiring all of the gleaming orbs.
Did we get walked twice?
We did get walked twice.
Yes, repetition of walked.
Yes, Paul.
No, he
out.
Saved me from my misery.
43 seconds, Paul. Blackpool Illuminations. Time starts now.
The day I was asked to open the Blackpool Illuminations is something that I had commemorated on a plate, which I now have stored in my mantelpiece place, where I just look at it in my home and say that was the day that the Blackpool Illuminations.
Zoe.
There were 2 days.
There were two days.
Double days.
Double days.
Correct. Yep. Challenge, Zoe. 30 seconds you've got on Blackpool Illuminations. And let's have it starting now.
As a child, my parents used to take me to Blackpool to view the illuminations. It was inevitably raining. We'd have steak and chips before we got on the tram, and then it would trundle along the promenade, and out of the rain street windows, we would see the illuminations. I say we would observe the illuminations.
There was a repetition of we would quite quick.
Yes, I should have known better.
I think you're absolutely
at least
right.
You went to Austria after that.
I did go to Austria. Things improved. Yeah, the holidays
improved. How would
you
compare Blackpool and Austria? Would you say
they're just chalk and cheese, yeah. Really. Steak and kidney in Blackpool and then the lovely Sacha Tort in Austria. So, I mean, I'd have to say my heart is in Vienna.
Well... just want the accompanying documentary, if that's all right.
That's some travel log, isn't it?
Zoe does the European bits of Europe. Yeah. No, it's a correct challenge. It is a correct challenge, Paul. I'm giving it to you because they were so close to one another. So, 11 seconds. It's all yours. It's Blackpool Illuminations, and your time starts now.
They say on a very good day you can see the Blackpool Illuminations as far as Lytham St. Anne's, which is about 5 miles down the road. And as the lights pierce through the darkness, the clouds seem to burst with...
And as the whistle went, Paul was speaking, which means he gets that final point. Scores, let's have them. We've got Delisa and Kerry in joint third position, Zoe in second and out ahead, and tonight's winner, Mr. Paul Merton. Sadly, we have to leave you, but first of all, thanks to our incredible players of the game today. Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Delisa Chabonda and Kerry Godleyman. We're indebted, of course, to Ian Messiter and Nicholas Parsons. We also thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so perfectly. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you so much for listening, wherever you are. And please do join us again next time we all play Just a Minute. Thank you.